Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
I want to ask you to turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23 in the Old Testament, Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and we have been teaching on the seven feasts of Israel. We've been bringing to you some revelation knowledge of the feast, the festivals of God as found here. There are seven festivals, main festivals that God gave. There are others that were added later on as Israel grew into a nation. But these are the main seven feasts of Israel. And in these seven feasts, you find the full plan of redemption from God. You'll find God showing us His plan of salvation all the way to His plan to the millennial reign. And we've already seen some of these things. And we begin to understand some things as we read the book of Leviticus. We understand that God put all seven of these feasts in this one chapter so that the people of God could study them out and have them right there before Him. Now, to understand some of these things, you need to get a hold of this. Number one, you need to understand that God's calendar is a lunar calendar. It operates on the phases of the moon. It is not a calendar by the sun. In other words, it's not a solar calendar as we use. It's a lunar calendar. And it operates on the phases of the moon, the different phases of the moon. And there are 28 days in the phases of the moon. And every month in God's calendar starts with a new moon. And it goes through the whole process, praise God. In the middle of the month, you'd have the full moon. And so you find that God's feasts start on the first full moon of the first month of the year, which is a spring month. God's calendar begins in what our calendar is usually in March or April. It's the month of Nisan. Now, God has 12 months in His calendar that He gave the children of Israel. Somebody says, well, if you've got 12 months and they operate on 28 days on the lunar cycle, then how is it that they can make the months work out? Well, in God's calendar or the Hebrew calendar, what they would do is every couple of years, 2 to 3 years, they would have a leap month. They would take the last month of the year, and it would be the second month. The last month is A-D-A-R, Adar, and they would have Adar 2. In other words, they would have a 13th month that would be added in that would make up the days that would put it all back into the right cycle. Amen? And so we find God setting this up. We also find this, God's days begin at twilight, in the evening, at sundown. And they go from there. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And so we find out that on God's calendar, a day begins in the evening, at twilight or moonrise, you might say, because it's operating on the lunar calendar. Also, I thought something was unique. In Psalm 104, verse 19, the Bible says, He hath appointed the moon for the seasons. And so even David talks about the seasons and right down the line. You know, and it's really better that you do understand the moon, because if you can study the moon and understand the phases of the moon, you can know just about what time of the month you're in by the phase of the moon. You can understand what day it is. You can understand what time of the year it is. And it works for a good calendar, because the moon is constantly changing and going through its cycle, unlike the sun, which is coming up on the east and going down the west every day. Amen. And so we find that God chose to operate through the lunar calendar. So we find God operating this way. And when you can understand that, all of a sudden you can start understanding some of the things about Jesus being buried and 3 days later rising from the dead. When you understand that God operates from an evening to an evening and instead of a morning to a morning. Amen. And so that evening and the morning would be the first day, the morning, first day, second day, evening, morning, third day. Boom, you got a resurrection. Praise God. And so we begin to see some things happening here. Now, these feasts, as we said, have three of them in the spring, in the month of March or April, usually at the end of March, 1st of April. This year, they happen to be in April of our year. And they begin here in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 5. And it says, in the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. At twilight is the Lord's Passover. So the festival season begins with the feast of Passover. We've already talked about these first three, but I do need to take a little time and bring you up to it, because we are in this season right now. Passover is the feast of salvation. And we understand that whenever you go back to Exodus chapter 12 and you find that God set up the Passover, and it was when the 10th plague, the plague of death, was to come upon Egypt, whenever they took the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost and over the windows, then that death angel could not touch them. It had to pass over them. And so that blood of the Passover lamb was for their deliverance, and then they were supposed to eat the flesh of the lamb. And the Bible says that they came out of Israel without one feeble person among them, praise God. So they ate that Passover meal, they said, with your clothes on, your staff in your hand. In other words, they ate it in faith, ready to move out. They ate it with expectation, amen. They were believing God for deliverance and that through the blood, and they were believing God for strength and health through the flesh. Well, what does that have to do with us? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on this earth, in his time of life and ministry, he went to each and every one of these festivals. In fact, you can find whenever Jesus is 12 years old, they had gone up to one of the festivals, and he was there, and he stayed at the temple and was disputing with the Pharisees and the priests in the temple. And his family, every year, they went up. And so Joseph and Mary were very orthodox in following these feasts. They were involved in Passover. They were involved in unleavened bread. They were involved in first fruits. They took him, and he was trained in that. Amen? But then, this is the thing you've got to understand also, each one of these seven feasts revealed to us a part or a particular phase of God's plan of salvation and redemption for mankind. And so the Passover in the original state for the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, it was God's feast of salvation or deliverance from slavery and bondage coming out of Egypt. And they were to take Passover and take it in remembrance of their deliverance from Egyptian bondage and from slavery. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that even Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. Hallelujah. And so how did Jesus fulfill Passover? He fulfilled Passover by being crucified on the day of Passover and dying at 3 p.m. on Passover day. Jesus became the Passover lamb. John 1:29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." When John called Jesus the Lamb of God, he marked him as a blood sacrifice. And all the disciples looked and they began to follow him because John was prophesying that Jesus would be God's blood sacrifice. Jesus would be God's Jehovah Jireh, God's provision for man's salvation. Hallelujah. The Hebrews look at Passover and they remember being brought out of Egyptian bondage. But you and I look at Passover as being set free from sin and Satan's darkness in our lives and being brought out of the kingdom of darkness and being brought into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We celebrate Passover not because of a lamb that was slain on an altar by a priest, but we celebrate Passover as a lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was slain upon Calvary's cross by God himself so that he would bear our sicknesses and carry our pains, the chastisement of our peace of mind and body and being would be upon him, and by his stripes we would be healed. Amen. Glory to God. And on the Passover, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Aren't you glad that God took your sin, put it upon Jesus, and it passed from you to Jesus? Jesus took it down into the very pit of the earth, down into the belly of the earth in the region of the dam, and there he paid the price so that sin has to pass over you now. Glory to God. Folks, Satan cannot touch you. He can tempt you. He can try you, but he can't kill you. And where do we put the blood? We put the blood on our heart and on our mind, and we apply the blood. What is the blood of the Passover meal today? It's the cup and the bread of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we operate in it. So whenever we come to Passover, which happens to be in the year of 2009 on April the 9th on Thursday evening, it begins. Whenever that day comes along and you see Passover being brought forth, and all of a sudden you can stop and say, wait a minute, this is my Passover. This is the night Jesus Christ took my sin. This is the night he was beaten for me. This is the night that Jesus had the final meal and introduced the communion table and revealed that it was his body that was going to be the bread. It was going to be His blood that was going to set me free. And Jesus was going to cause my sins to pass over from me to Him and set me free from sin and make me a child of God. Hallelujah. And so we rejoice. How did the Lord fulfill? Passover is fulfilled. How? In Christ's crucifixion on Calvary's cross. Amen. And then we read in the next verse here in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6, and on the 15th day, the very next day of the same month, that first month, is the feast of unleavened bread. Unto the Lord, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now, we understand that the feast of unleavened bread is a 7-day feast, and it begins the next day after Passover. Okay? Unleavened bread eaten over a period of time, such as over 7 days, represents a holy walk. And what God was saying to the children of Israel here was this: now that sin and death and all the bondage of the world has passed over from you to the enemy, and you are now set free from slavery, I ask you and expect of you to live a holy life before me. I expect you to live a holy, consecrated, committed life before me. And eating unleavened bread for those 7 days, the children of Israel was basically saying to God, God, I believe that you purge me from sin, you purge me from leaven, you purge me from unholiness, you purge me from all uncleanness. And Lord God, I consecrate my life now to respect and honor you and thank you for what you've done to bring me out of slavery into liberty. Amen. Now, what happened? How did the Lord fulfill the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Well, we understand that according over here to the Gospel of Matthew, that the Lord Jesus Christ died at 3 p.m. on Passover. Remember, God's day started around 6 p.m. Twilight, right? So somebody says, well, how is it the Lord was on the cross only for the 6 hours from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m.? That's all the time He could afford to stay on the cross. He's got to fulfill these feasts. And so for them to have time to wrap His body and get Him ready and to bury Him on unleavened bread, He has to come down off the cross. So what did He do? He went ahead and accepted death. Did you hear me? He accepted death. He already said, you can't kill me. My life is mine to lay down and mine to pick up. He was made to be sin. He said, Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus submitted Himself to the cup of God's wrath and submitted Himself to death on the cross. If Jesus had not submitted to it, death could not come on Him. So Jesus gave up Himself. He gave His spirit. He turned Himself over to God and died on the cross. And how did He fulfill unleavened bread? He was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on that first day of unleavened bread, on the 15th day of the month. We would say it like this: He was buried on the next day after Passover, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread. John 12:24, Jesus said, except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it's planted in the ground, it'll produce a great harvest. Hallelujah. Jesus was that bread sent down from heaven.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.